Calling the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Well, we had high drama last night in the nation's capital as Ted Cruz was standing up in an effort to filibuster the Obamacare, the implementation of Obamacare. Let's play a quick clip that give you a little sense of how he began that filibuster.
I intend to speak in opposition to Obamacare. I intend to speak in support of defunding Obamacare until I am no longer able to stand.
Well, that was the opening part. He says there in the very beginning that I rise to defund or to stop Obamacare. And so Ted Cruz going to the floor of the Senate in order to try to stop this train from going down the track. We want to talk about that on the program today. It's a very important subject that is facing our nation, and we want to talk about it from the aspect of going to World Magazine. And, of course, World's Washington Bureau Chief is Edward Lee Pitts. Lee joins us now by telephone. Lee, it's great to have you on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Hey, Lee, I wanted to start with a couple of your earlier articles before we get to the climax of what has taken place the last couple of days. I wanted to go all the way back to your article that you did about dodgy business and what was taking place dealing with the president and some of the issues that were taking place with him, and try to walk our listeners a little bit through what has taken place even just over the last couple of weeks on this particular issue. I wanted to lay that groundwork first, and then we can get all the way up to the point where we find ourselves today. So if you would, let's start back a couple of weeks. There were some discussions about how exactly this should be dealt with, especially among the Republicans. I'm going to show a graph right now, a little cartoon that we had. And in this cartoon, it shows that there's a number of different opinions about what should be done. So for our folks listening or watching out on sermonaudio.com, they'll actually see the cartoon. Some people in the Democratic Party say to defend Obamacare. This is one of the options. Other people say to defund Obamacare. That's more in the GOP. And then other people say just let the whole thing collapse under its own weight. You know, just go ahead and implement it, but it's going to fall apart eventually, and then they're going to bear the burden of it. So people seem to be all over the board as to exactly what to do. Tell us what you've been writing about this for the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, well, this actually really began back in the summer and August recess in particular, the time where congressional lawmakers go back to their districts. And, you know, the debate then was, you know, how do we, you know, fight Obamacare for conservatives heading to the October 1st launch date, which is now just next week. And the philosophy among some Republicans was to, you know, attach the fund Obamacare measure to a must-pass bill that's being debated now to keep the government open. The government shuts down and runs out of money if they don't pass a continuing resolution to keep funding the government by September 30th. And some lawmakers, including Ted Cruz, argued that if we attach a defund Obamacare measure to that must-pass funding bill, then the Democrats will be in a position of protecting Obamacare at the expense of keeping the government open or shutting it down. And they went on to town hall meetings all over the country. I know there were 9 town hall meetings that the Heritage Foundation, a conservative think tank group here, put on, and Ted Cruz appeared at one of those, and his father appeared at several of those as well. And the town hall meetings were sold out and standing room only, and a lot of grassroots conservatives and even non-conservative Americans who are concerned about a life under Obamacare have spoken out in favor of defunding it. And that kind of changed the tone in the House a couple weeks ago, or last week. The House voted to do that very strategy after some establishment Republicans, leadership Republicans, did not think that was a smart strategy. They balked and switched to the Roots decision and attached the defund Obamacare measure to the must-pass spending bill, and that's what's being debated right now in the Senate. And Reid and the Democrats in the Senate want to detach the defund Obamacare element from the government budget bill and just pass the government budget bill, and that's why Ted Cruz is standing up now and speaking close to 20 hours, if not more than 20 hours now, trying to stop that tactic.
Mm-hmm. Let me say that you also wrote an article entitled, you had the one about defunding, where you talk about the Heritage Foundation. And then after that, you also wrote about delayed and confused. And I think that this really gets to the heart of what is going on. Even to this point, here we are, implementation time for the so-called Affordable Care Act. And people are still completely confused about, you know, how this even works, whether it's going to cost them more or less. I quoted an article the other day in Forbes magazine that said the average family of four would now pay an extra $7,000 in health care expenses as a result of the implementation of Obamacare. And so I think people don't know what exchanges are. The whole thing just seems tremendously complex, and it has not been explained to the American people. And so they're just, they're just confused about this entire thing, and they're not certain that the government getting involved in this is going to make it any clearer. Is that a fair summary of what you wrote about there?
Yeah, well, it kind of goes back to what then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said back when they were debating Obamacare. She said, we have to pass this bill to see what's in it. And now it seems like we've got to wait until it's implemented to see what's in it. A lot of people don't know what the ramifications and repercussions are of Obamacare, and it looks like we're going to find out starting October 1st and going into next year. And you're right, there are continual reports coming out that costs are going to skyrocket for individual health premiums and family health premiums, and that individuals are going to be left with less choices. A lot of insurance companies are balking at entering the exchanges in various states because the costs are too high. There's no profit for them, and that'll reduce choices for people in different states and force them to go on the government plan, which, you know, some people argue is the Democrats' desire all along, is to kind of create economic conditions where the only choice people have eventually is to go on a government-run health care plan. And that's one of the reasons why Ted Cruz and others are at the Senate speaking now, trying to stop Obamacare from going forward. It looks like, obviously, they're not going to be able to probably achieve the Obamacare defunding movement. But what, you know, is going on with Ted Cruz speaking on the floor right now, he's getting a platform, an uninterrupted platform, you know, on national television and also on Twitter and on, you know, cable television. He's being able to lay out his conservative platform, his conservative views, and be able to, you know, kind of give people an alternative and to lay out some of the problems of Obamacare. It's getting a lot of attention, a lot of hits on Twitter. And I know his Twitter account followers has really increased since he started speaking, so people are paying attention to this. And whether or not his strategy ultimately wins, which it doesn't like it will for this particular battle, the actual war will go on, and I think more people will be paying attention to his views going forward because of this marathon speech he's giving.
Well, explain to our listeners then exactly how this works. You wrote an article about the Republican revolt and talking about the House voting to keep the government open but to defund Obamacare. Talk about, so that's where the House is at. It's now gone to the Senate. How does this work? Can they, if the Senate says, hey, this isn't, we don't agree with that, we're going to go ahead and do both, we're going to keep the government open, we're going to go ahead and fund Obamacare, does it then go back to the House for some changes there as well?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the House originates the bill. They pass the bill to keep the government running until mid-December, which, you know, a lot of people don't realize is just for 2 months extension, so they're going to have this debate all over again in December around Christmas time. I know people can't wait for that. You know, we're at the point where we fund our government at two-month increments now. But currently, they pass a bill that extends the government funding for two more months, and they attach to it a measure to defund Obamacare, gut the budget of Obamacare. The Senate has taken that bill this week, and and the Democrats are detaching the defund Obamacare element and passing the just fund the government part for the next 2 months, and then they'll have to send it back to the House, and the House will have to decide what to do with it. Will they insist on putting the Obamacare measure back in, or will they just pass a bill that keeps the government running for 2 months and fight Obamacare another day? And that's kind of what's going to have to happen. It looks like the House has already passed the defund Obamacare plus keep the government open, and the Senate will pass just to keep the government open, not to fund Obamacare, despite Ted Cruz's long speech. That's the route the Senate's going. It's a tricky thing to stop Obamacare when the Democrats control the White House and control the Senate, and they consider this their signature legislation, and they don't want to undo that. And a lot of people feel like the last best time to defund Obamacare or to kill Obamacare would have been the 2012 election. And with that not going the way of the Republicans, it looks like that the next step to maybe kill Obamacare is sadly that it'll get implemented, and a year or two down the road, it'll just be such a disaster that people will revolt in the next election. But most people are skeptical that any efforts to defund Obamacare are going to work as long as the Democrats control the White House and Congress. And that's what leads to the Republican debate now. You know, Mitch McConnell and other establishment Republicans who've been here for a long time do not agree with Ted Cruz's tactic to attach Obamacare defunding to a government budget bill, and they feel like that the mainstream media will blame Republicans for shutting the government down, and it'll be bad press for Republicans. And based on the mainstream media's track record when it comes to conservatives, and that's probably a pretty good guess. You know, Cruz is going to length to say that if the government shuts down because Harry Reid in the Senate and Obama in the White House refuse to defund Obamacare, it's their fault and not Republicans, because they passed the measure to keep the government open. But, you know, a lot of the media is not going to cover it that way, and they're not going to see it that way, and a lot of their readers aren't either. So it's probably that argument is probably a losing cause, and that's why Mitch McConnell and other Republican establishment Republicans are you know, against Cruz's tactics.
You know, in our view, I think, and I think I speak for a number of people, that who cares about shutting the government down? You know, I think that shutting the government down would save us some money. I think it's not the worst thing in the world that can possibly happen. And we are so tired of these politicians, even in the GOP, with the GOP establishment, being more concerned about the photo op and more concerned about the press release coming out from these things than standing upon their principles. That's what we want to see these people do, you know, is stand upon their principles. And so part of the story, and you write about this a little bit in an article that you posted yesterday called Shutdown, Showdown, Letdown. And in that article, you talk about the effort to defund Obamacare while funding the government is losing traction among Senate Republicans. There's kind of a story within a story here. Not only is this the folks that don't like Obamacare, which, by the way, is polls are indicating that we're talking upwards of 65% of the American people don't want this. So the public is on the side of those who want to stop Obamacare. So there's a battle there that's taking place. That's the big battle, Obamacare or no Obamacare, and that's one we should be able to win. There's a smaller battle going on within this. There's a battle going on within the GOP itself, and that's between the establishment Republicans and between those that are more conservative, real conservative, the right, you know, the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party. And so with that, how is that battle going? Are there more people now coming over with Ted Cruz and Mike Lee and others that that are involved in that?
That's a great question. You're exactly right. This is kind of a two-tier battle, one, the battle against Obamacare, and one, the battle within the Republican Party about how to go about getting rid of Obamacare. And I'd say, to answer your question, it's a little bit too early to tell right now. I think the fall, it would be interesting to see what happens to Ted Cruz post this long speech he's given, and what kind of reaction he'll get among, you know, grassroots conservatives and among just American people of all political stripes around the country. How will they react to his speech? Will they, you know, applaud his gesture? Or will they, you know, think he wasted the Senate's time? So I think, you know, will more constituents rally around him or not? I know that the establishment political class, and that includes the media, that includes establishment Republicans, that includes Democrats, you know, they think it's a bad idea and a waste of time. And, you know, they're always going to, you know, that political class is always going to side with each other. But the only thing that will change it, and this is what Cruz has said in his speeches, one thing that will change that perception is if the constituents and the American people, you know, respond and reach out and call their lawmakers and call their, you know, their representatives and try to get them to change their ways.
No, I just said that defunding shutting the government down isn't such a bad thing. I guess I'm in pretty good company with that, because I just saw out on World Magazine that Kelk Thomas has actually written an article along that line, just talking about, you know, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world if this is what takes place with the shutting down of the government. And he's talking about, you know, the fact that, you know, Obama pledged to end partisanship, but instead he's actually only exacerbated it in Washington. We're watching the screen right now, in fact, and we see that currently Senator Dick Durbin is up speaking. He's questioning during when Senator Ted Cruz is still speaking, so he's taking some sort of back and forth questions or opposition questions as well. So Senator Cruz is still going there. I think he's on cruise control. He's still going there, and this is being carried live on C-SPAN. So where does this end now? You were talking about Ted Cruz, and in your article you wrote one today speaking about Cruz being on the floor. What do you think is going to be the outcome of all this?
Well, it'll be interesting the next hour and a half or 2 hours, because technically, according to Senate rules, the Senate has to vote around noon on a procedural motion to go forward with the government funding bill without the Obamacare defunding measure. And that's why Cruz is up there talking. But it technically is not a filibuster in you know, complex, arcane Senate procedural rules or parliamentary rules. This is not a filibuster. You cannot stand up there forever and talk like you see in the movies because of Senate rules. And so will Harry Reid, the Senate Majority Leader, the head of the Democrats, stand up and make Cruz sit down per the rules, and they'll vote around noon? Or will he let Cruz go on a little longer, and because he's fearful that, you know, making Cruz stop talking will make him into a martyr, make him into more of a hero? So that's interesting the debate that Democrats have to have the next 90 minutes or so, is what they're going to do with ending Cruz's speech and moving forward with the vote. The vote will pass, and the vote will pass in the Senate Democrats' favor, and then they'll send it to the House, and the House will have a couple of days to decide what they want to do, before the October 1st deadline. And so this really goes back to the House, as it has so often the last couple of years. You know, it's the Republican-controlled House against the Senate Democrats and the Democratic White House.
Mm-hmm. I thought that I heard something the other day about Boehner had another idea about how they could do this in the House when it comes back. Do you know what I'm referring to?
Well, one tactic they're talking about is doing it to the debt ceiling debate, which comes in the middle of October. Not only does the government have to be funded by October 1st, because for continuing resolutions, the government needs a new budget approved. The government is also going to run out of its borrowing limit by mid-October. It's going to hit its debt ceiling once again and won't be able to pay off its debts, and could risk defaulting on its debts. And so a lot of people are some Republicans are arguing, let's not tie Obamacare to keeping the government open with the government shutdown. Let's tie Obamacare to funding to the measure to increase the borrowing limit. Now, Republicans won big concessions on that when the last time they had the debt ceiling debate. Boehner got Obama and Reid to agree to large spending cuts, they call the sequester, and tied that to the debt ceiling increase. So there were definitely some concessions that the Republicans gained that curtailed federal spending, or at least slowed the rate of growth of federal spending, I guess I should say. And so because of the past success of the debt ceiling debate, a lot of Republicans are arguing let's tie Obamacare to that and not to the government shutdown debate.
You talked about the difference, Lee, between a filibuster and what Senator Cruz is currently doing. One of the differences that we're kind of noting here as we're watching this is that the Democrats then being allowed to speak while he's speaking and questioning him. Is that standard procedure for the what he's involved in here on the floor? And is that being done to try to defend Obamacare or discredit Senator Cruz? How does that work?
Well, actually, in a even in a filibuster, you can yield the floor to, I mean, you can yield to a question, but you don't yield the floor. So, you know, every time somebody asks, you know, Cruz, can I have a question? And Cruz always says, I yield to a question, but I don't yield the floor.
Right.
You know, it's kind of, it kind of gets, you know, it's a little more probably detail for the average listener, but technically you can even do that in a filibuster. You can yield the floor to questions. So, and of course, in the Senate term, a question could be a 8-paragraph speech with one question at the end. It doesn't have to be just a straight, simple question. So they can you know, talk for a long time, too, and that's what's going on. Some Republicans, like Marco Rubio and James Inhofe, have also come to the floor to ask Cruz questions. Of course, they're friendly questions, and the Democrats are now asking questions to him to try to defend Obamacare. So technically, Cruz still holds the floor.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was watching some of the Twitter accounts and the feeds that were coming out as he was speaking, and some of the people were commenting. He is doing this in a very respectful way. They were just talking about, you know, although he is making the point firmly about his opposition to Obamacare and so forth, yet he was doing it in a very civil way and talking about how gracious he was in the way that he was doing this. I think, you know, even taking questions from the Democrats is a great idea. You know, go ahead, let's hear what your opposition is to what I'm saying. And then he gets the chance to go ahead and give a rebuttal about that afterwards, which he's in the currently doing even as we speak. He's answering the objections from Dick Durbin. Dick Durbin, of course, you know, a well-known leader in the Democratic Party. And so I think that really is even better. Go ahead and ask your questions now, and let's get it out on the table, and we'll tell you why that's not a good solution. You know, he started this off. I was reading something from Ted Cruz himself, a short article that he had written. And Ted Cruz said, I'm about to do what Republicans and conservatives haven't done in a long time. I'm about to stand up and articulate our position and to talk about why we are in opposition to this. And I thought that was absolutely spot on, that not only do we need to be saying that we're against something, but we need to be showing why we're against it and why a more conservative approach would actually be a positive thing. And I think that whole concept is something that really needs to be implemented by conservatives. Would you agree?
You know, one of the amazing things I've watched most of last night, and I started watching again this morning around 8 a.m., and one of the things that amazed me is that Ted Cruz is standing up there now, 20 hours into the speech, looks an awful lot like the Ted Cruz that stood up to begin this thing at 2:30 in the afternoon. He still kind of looks the same and doesn't seem to be as exhausted as you think he would be.
Yeah.
And you got to admire a guy who talks about Dr. Seuss, reads Dr. Seuss bedtime stories to his kids last night, and this morning I called him quoting from the movie Star Wars, even channeling the voice of Darth Vader during one of his speeches. So this, I'm sure this 20-plus hour speech will be dissected for a long time and studied and analyzed, and you know, from the quotes from Dr. Seuss to Star Wars, not many Senate speeches include Darth Vader and Dr. Seuss in one of the same speech.
Yeah, well, we're going to play a real quick clip along that line. Let's play that.
I will not eat them here or there. I do not like them anywhere. You do not like green eggs and ham? I do not like them, Sam I am.
So there's a little bit of Ted Cruz talking about green eggs and ham. You know, the left has really picked up on just that he used those types of things. And they're using that, like out on CNN, you know, it just says Cruz conjures Darth Vader 18 hours into the Senate marathon. And their headline for this talked about Dr. Seuss and Darth Vader. You know, so they're kind of using those analogies that he brings up is just a very small part of his entire 18-hour presentation here. And they're kind of saying, you know, this is just ridiculous, him up there reading these things. But his point in doing that was just he related it to a personal experience with his children. And in that personal experience with his children, he was talking about even in the even in these childhood books, you know, they wouldn't do what they were being forced to do by somebody else. And they just didn't like it. And the American people don't like Obamacare. So that was his point, right?
Yeah, well, one thing I think is important to mention, too, the way the media is covering this. I mean, I remember a few weeks or months back when Wendy Davis, the Texas state senator, not the U.S. senator, but the Texas state lawmaker who did a filibuster for abortion, pro-abortion filibuster, and how she was trumpeted as a hero by the media. And I've seen some people even tweet the headlines that were written about her filibuster versus the headlines written today about Cruz's speech. And you know, they're making Cruz out to be a right-wing nut job, while Wendy Davis standing up for abortion is a hero. So it's just another example of the way the mainstream media views events, you know, through a lens.
Yeah, and when Wendy Davis was asked about that horrific event that took place there in Pennsylvania, you know, with the abortion clinic and the Gosnell case, you know, she said she wasn't even aware of it. And so here's this person that was supposed to be, you know, the champion on this particular issue, and you have the most egregious case in the country's history, and she doesn't even know anything about it, or says she doesn't know anything about it. So, yeah, the double standard there, of course, from World Magazine. We spoke to Warren Cole Smith the other day about the Prodigal Press. Marvin Olasky and Warren Cole Smith combining together on the latest edition of that book, and you can go out to World Magazine to find out more. Lee, thank you so much for writing these articles. I know it's a busy day for you covering these issues, so we've got to let you go here at the bottom of the hour, but thank you for joining us, bring us up to speed about exactly what's taking place on this issue.
Enjoy talking with you. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Okay, you too. That was Edward Lee Pitts. He's the Washington Bureau Chief for World Magazine. And you can find out all the rest of the information about not only Lee's articles, which were many. He's writing on a regular basis as these things begin to unfold. So you can check that out on www.worldmagazine.com. That's worldmag.com. You can go out to their website and check it out. Also, there are many other articles out there as well that you may be interested in following as well. So you can go out there and check all that out. I just received just a few moments ago Mindy Bell's World, the Trekker that she does. Those are all really good as well. We'll be back in a moment.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.